الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue our discussion with regards to the affairs related to the woman, specifically with regards to her duty and her responsibility and the obligation of obeying her Lord, and likewise restricting herself and abiding by the sunnah of her Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and likewise fulfilling the duty and responsibility to her family and to her husband and to her children and to her home and her household, and likewise with regards to the society. So to summarize now the past few classes that have preceded, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and He is the provider and the sustainer of everything that exists, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and He has given everything its shape and its form, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's nothing in His creation except it belongs to Him. And everything in His creation is brought into existence for a wisdom and a purpose. And nothing is without wisdom or without reason or without purpose. Rather, Allah, He is the Most High and the Most Wise and the All-Knowing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the wisdom of the creation of the heavens and the earth is to test and to try the people. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who has created the death and the life to test you, to see who does the best deed, to test you, to see who is truthful in your faith, and who is upright and sincere in the religion, and will comply in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise Allah, He clarified as well, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn and the mankind except to worship Me alone. And except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will try them again, and it's a test. The worship that we are created for is a trial and a test, and the reality of that is compliance again with love and hope and fear and submission and willful obedience and trust and reliance and sincere faith in compliance with the commands of Allah, and fulfilling the obligations and the duties that Allah has placed upon His servants, and also in avoiding and leaving off and staying away from the prohibitions. In this manner, there's a test. And based upon that, there will be a recompense. And those who have done good, they will be recompensed with good. And a multiplication of that. And those who have worked evil, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, then they will be recompensed for the deeds that they used to do. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. So from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creation of the human being. And the creation of the human being is a major affair and a great sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He created the male and He created the female. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And the male is not like the female. All of these are from the signs of Allah, the signs of His power and authority and command, the signs that He has the ability to do all things, the signs that He has knowledge and that He has perfect knowledge and perfect wisdom, and that He is the most kind and merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He alone is worthy of worship. But likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, He has clarified the wisdom between the creation of the male and the female. And yet, along with that general wisdom that they should worship Allah, and that they should comply to the command of Allah in obedience and submission, and the humbleness and compliance to His commandments and prohibitions, and abiding by the commandments and applying them and avoiding the prohibitions and staying away from them entirely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions specifically about the male and the female, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. That it is Allah, He has created you from one soul, and He has created mankind from one soul. And we know that. That is from Adam, alayhi salam. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And from that soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created His spouse, Hawa. And we know the affair of this very clearly. But in this verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the wisdom behind creating the spouse for Adam, alayhi salam, liyaskuna ilayha, so that he may find stability and comfort and peace along with her. So from the wisdom of the creation of the female and the spouse is that she will be a means of peace and a means of stability for the husband, and likewise the husband in turn for her. And likewise the husband in turn for her. And this is from the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned in his book, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in this noble verse, the meaning of that which is, and from his signs, you know, the signs in his creation, the signs of his power and his ability to do all things, the signs of his complete knowledge and wisdom, and the signs that he's worthy of worship. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajin. And from his signs is that he has created for you from amongst your own selves, he has created for you spouses, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may find peace and stability and comfort in them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And he has placed between you, meaning between the male and the female, between the husband and the wife, between the two spouses, he has placed between them love, kindness, and mercy. Love, kindness, and mercy. So we see here the benefits from this. And these affairs, they have preceded, but some of this will be a reminder and a summarization of that which we have taken. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial for us and to show us the truth and make it easy for us to accept it and to make the guidance easy for us to understand and to comply and to abide by. I summarize some of those benefits that Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi, he had mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-wazifa al-asasiyya, the fundamental and main function and occupation, التي خلقت لها المرأة, that the woman was created for, that the female was created for, وهيت لها, and that she has been prepared for, وهي أن تكون سكنا للزوج يسكن إليها وتسكن إليه, that from the fundamental functions and purpose and the wisdom behind the creation of the female, which is derived from these verses, and that which the female has been prepared for, is that she will be a means of stability and a means of peace and happiness for the husband. And he will find that with her, that tranquility and peace and stability with her, and likewise she will find that from him. Likewise she will find that from him. Both of these verses, they clarify this. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. In both verses like this, the lamb is being used. The people of knowledge, the knowledge of the Arabic language, they say this lamb is called lamb al-ta'lil, the lamb which is referring to the reason why the verb is being لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, in order for you to find peace and stability and ease and tranquility from her. From her. So this is the wisdom, the fundamental wisdom in the creation of the woman. So likewise, we have seen as well another great benefit that is derived from the likes of these verses, استقامتُ الأحوالِ وَلَذَّةُ الْعَيْشِ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ بِالْحَيَاةِ الزَّوْجِيَّةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ الَّتِي تَتَقَيَّدُ بِالْأَحْكَامِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ الَّتِي تَتَقَيَّدُ بِالْأَحْكَامِ بالأحكام الشرعية, that the rectification of the situation and circumstances of the people, yani the person himself as an individual, and building from that the families and society, will never be upright properly, and it will never be stable and have true stability and peace and rest and security, and never taste the true happiness and the good life except by the noble and proper upright marital life. The life of marriage, the life of a husband with his wife and a wife with her husband, and then likewise from the completion and perfection of that is to have children. Is to have children. This is in the wisdom of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation of Adam and then Hawa for this reason, so that they can have this relationship and this stability and this happiness and this peace and this joy. And this is the manner here. And from the means of that likewise is that this marital life will only be noble and upright in a good way if they restrict and confine themselves to the legislative rulings and etiquettes and laws that have been prescribed in the religion of Al-Islam and clarified in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the issue here. This is the wisdom behind the creation of the woman, yani for this manner and this affair, that she will be a means of second, that she will be a means of stability, and she will be a means of peace and joy and happiness and tranquility for her husband in her home. And likewise, a means to aid the husband and assist the husband and the family by cultivating and raising the children upon the proper creed and the proper belief and the proper methodology and the proper understanding of life and how to fulfill the obligations that are upon the children. Teaching the children how to perform their obligations, and from the proper creed and belief, and singling out Allah alone in worship, and complying and loving Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than they love their own souls, and more than they love their own parents and all of mankind, and the likes like this, and teaching them the sunnah and the ways, and how to perform the ablution, and how to perform their prayer properly, how to keep themselves clean inside and outside, and so on and so forth, and even the means for them to save themselves from the fire. So first, the parents, they must do that themselves. They must do that themselves. So again, this is from the wisdom of that affair, and that does not happen. This does not happen whenever the woman leaves her home. Whenever the woman leaves her home, where is the stability for the husband? Rather, there becomes chaos and commotion, and where is the tranquility in the home, and where is the peace in the home whenever the woman, she's leaving the house? Rather, whenever she leaves the house, we have seen in the previous classes what happens and how shaitan decorates her and uses her and takes advantage of the fact that she is available and outside for the people to look at and for the people to see. So this is in reality an objection and contrary to the very foundation and the wisdom behind the creation of the female, behind the creation of the female. And we say now, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. Does not the one who created know best? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, He knows best that which is proper and right for the male and that which is proper and right for the female. So for this reason, those previous classes have proceeded clarifying that the fundamental principle is that the woman, she does not leave the house. That the woman, her function and her place and her responsibility, first and foremost, is in her home. Is in her home, and it's not allowed for her to leave. And it's not allowed for her to leave. And we have seen the evidences for that. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Those evidences have proceeded. And from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah in the past two classes, that this is the fundamental that is established. And it's very important to learn fundamentals first and foremost, because this is the foundation, and this is the requirement, and this is the duty. And then the exceptions that come later, these can be learned and understood and the likes, but it's not the foundation. And the problem that we see with many of our sisters today, that instead of understanding the foundation, they have turned the exceptions to the rule as if they're the foundation. And they have made the foundation as if it's an exception and not required, nor is it necessary. And they have completely turned the affairs upside down. And this is all from the tricks of the enemies of Al-Islam. And this is from the deception of the devil for the Muslim woman, specifically to corrupt the Muslim home, and in turn to corrupt the Muslim ummah. To corrupt the Muslim ummah. So this is something that should be known. So the foundation for the noble sister, for the noble Muslima, is that her duty is in her house, and that she must remain in her home. And it's not allowed for her to leave her home except under conditions and in certain circumstances. The origin is that she will not leave her home. And the woman who learns these affairs and sees these evidences and then takes this as a religion and way of life, she will have much good in her life, and she will find much blessing and mercy and goodness in her home, in her religion, and in her heart, from peace and satisfaction and sincere faith. And sincere faith. And those who oppose that, then they will not find this goodness. They will not find this goodness, especially if they see the evidences and it's clear for them, and then they turn away and prefer to follow their desires. Likewise, we have seen as well the dangers of following desires. The dangers of following desires. So this is the foundation. So by knowing that foundation, now whenever a woman is in a situation where it's allowed for her to leave, she will remember the foundation. And this will be a means to help her to act accordingly, to act properly. The foundation is she won't leave in the first place. And then if she does leave, it will be in a state of necessity or for a specific need that is allowed for her. And by understanding that the origin is she doesn't leave, now she will leave properly. And she will leave in a noble manner. And whenever she's out home, she will conduct herself in a proper manner, knowing that the foundation is she should not be there in the first place, but she's only allowed to be here in this circumstances for the need that she's taking care of. So therefore, she will not take advantage of that, and she will not be moving in a manner that is reckless or heedless, or in a manner that is not noble or proper, or in a manner that would earn her the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because she understands the foundations and the basics of her religion. Because she understands the foundations and basics of her religion. So the people of knowledge, they mention, whenever they discuss the issue of the woman leaving their home, from the fundamental principles with regards to the permission of that, is that which has come in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. Do not prohibit the women slaves, the female slaves of Allah, from attending the masajid of Allah. And some wordings, and other than Bukhari and Muslim, from Sunan al-Arba'ah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد. وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ. Do not prohibit your women from going to the masajid, but their homes are better for them. But their homes are better for them. So this issue here now with regards to خروج المرأة من بيتها, the fact that the woman, she's allowed to leave her home, the basis for this is based upon the issue here about leaving to go to the masjid. So whenever the people of knowledge, they discuss the issue of the permissibility of the woman leaving her house, this is the fundamental proof for that, that it's allowed for them to leave, to go to the masjid. But we see how the narration has come, that it's not allowed for the man to prohibit the woman from going to the masjid. That it's not allowed for the man to prohibit the woman from going to the masjid. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them in. لَا تَمْنَعُوا نِسَاءَكُمْ الْمَسَاجِدِ لَا تَمْنَعُوا إِمَاءَ اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. So this is something that's directed to the male. Do not prohibit them. So this is an indication that they have to seek permission. And if they seek permission, they should be granted permission. But even then, from here, there are going to be evidences and there are going to be proofs indicating the conditions that one would allow his women to leave the home. That one would allow his women to leave the home. And whenever those conditions are met and they are present. So it's not an absolute situation. And then on top of that, in these other narrations that are in the Al-Kutub Al-Arba'ah, وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ. Then after the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, do not prohibit them, meaning it's allowed for them to attend the masajid. It's allowed for them to attend the obligatory prayer in the masajid. It's allowed for them to come to the masjid to benefit and to learn and the likes like this, but their homes are better for them. But their homes are better for them. And this has come likewise specifically with regards to the prayer, that it's allowed for the woman to pray in the masjid. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he allowed that. But he mentioned along with that, that the home is better for her. And he mentioned it with regards to his time and the women he's speaking to and where he spoke this affair. And that was in Al-Madinah. And the masjid that he's referring to is his masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that for the fact that the woman comes out of her house to pray in the masjid behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Prophet's masjid that is blessed and has a multiplication of reward over the rest of the prayers, still in this circumstance, after allowing that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified to the women that their home is better. All an indication of the obligation of staying in the home. And even if it's allowed to come out for the prayer, even then still it's better for them. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. It's better for them to pray in their home. The prayer is better for them and has a greater reward. Has a greater reward. So all of this is indication of the place of the woman and the foundation with regards to that. The fundamental principle with regards to that, and that is that she remains in her home, and that she remains in her home safe and honored and kept in a noble manner, and that she is protected and preserved, and that she fulfills the duty of her home and takes care of her husband and is a means of peace and safety and security for him and ease for him, and likewise he in turn for her, and they cooperate together upon raising a family. And they cooperate together upon raising a family and raising children upon the straight path. And this is in reality what the ummah is in need of families that are together, a male and a female have come together for the sake of Allah, to help and aid one another to reach the pleasure of Allah and to raise a family upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diligently, and to protect one another from falling into desires and whims and to aid one another to be upright and obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in public and in private. In public and in private, making the home a home of peace and a home of love and a home of the sunnah and the home of obedience to Allah and His Messenger in speech and in deed and in action and in creed. In speech and in deed and in action and in creed. Stemming from the home, when the children are raised in this manner in a righteous home, with beautiful intention, with a mother and a father who are making effort, and they fear Allah, and they have pity on their own souls and their family, and they're afraid of Allah, and the punishment of Allah, and they're afraid of misguidance, and the trials of this life, then many times great blessings will come from the likes of this household. Great blessings and much goodness will come for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the likes of this household. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our homes and to bless our efforts. So we see now that it is allowed for the woman to leave. It is allowed for the woman to leave under certain circumstances and situations. If she has a need that it's not possible for her to acquire or to take care of or to fulfill except by her leaving, then it will be allowed for her to leave to take care of that need. But this issue now will be confined or restricted to certain conditions. This issue now will be restricted to certain conditions. There are a number of them that the people of knowledge have mentioned, and we discuss the most important of them now, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And the first one, the people of knowledge, they say, amnu al-fitnati biha. Amnu al-fitnati biha. The first condition for the woman to leave her home in the time of necessity, whenever she has a need to take care of, that cannot be taken care of except by that, or whenever it's for an issue that yani is a need for, like going to the masajid and the likes like this, or to visit her relatives, so on and so forth. When will it be allowed for her? It will be allowed for her with the likes of these conditions. The first one we discussed, amnu al-fitnati biha, that it will be safe, that she will not be a trial if she leaves her home. That it must be, that there must be safety from her, yani, and it must be known from her that if she leaves her house, she will not be a fitna for others. She will not be a trial for others, from her speech, from her walk, from her dress, from her garment, and the likes like this. And the people of knowledge, they say, أَمَّا الَّتِي يُخْشَى الْإِفْتِتَانُ بِهَا فَلَا تَخْرُجُ أَصْلًا. As for the woman who is feared that she will be a trial if she leaves, and either because of her lowly manners, or her lowly conduct, or because she does not restrict and confine herself to the legislated laws whenever she leaves her home in her dress and in her conduct and the likes like this, or whatever the case may be, if it's feared that if she left, she will be a fitna for the people and the society, it's not allowed for her to leave in the first place. It's not allowed for her to leave in the first place. So the first issue here is that she will not be a means of fitna for the society, meaning that she will leave and she will abide by the proper restrictions and requirements that are upon her from her Lord. And she will fulfill that to the best of her ability. She will fulfill that to the best of her ability, and she will not be a trial for others. She will not be a puppet for shaitan to allure and to attract the weak-hearted and those who have lust and impermissible desires burning in their hearts. So also from that is also amnu al-tariq. Amnu al-tariq. So she has to be safe from being a trial and a fitna for others if she leaves. Likewise, the road or the pathways, and the roads and the likes, they have to be safe as well. As for if the roads are dangerous, or it's in a time of fitna, where there's bloodshed, or where there are thieves, or where there are people who are oppressive and known going through the land, also that this time she must stay in her home as well. So if it's safe to go outside and generally safe in the society to move through the streets, then it would be allowed for her, yani, along with the conditions that are following. But this is from those conditions the people of knowledge, as they mentioned. And this is on a preservation and protection of the Muslim woman so that she is not in danger and her reputation is not in danger and her life and her wealth and property is not in danger. So if it's dangerous to go outside, it's not allowed for her to leave. If it's dangerous to go outside, it's not allowed for her to leave. Another condition, the people of knowledge, they mention, Allah yufdiya khurujuha ila al-ikhtilat bil-rijal. The third condition that we discuss is that the fact that she leaves her house will not lead her to mixing freely with men. It will not leave her to mixing freely with men. And here again, what has proceeded from the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah in the previous class, with regards to the legislative governing of the communities, that which he mentioned about the issue of al-ikhtilat. And I remind of this affair that he said, وَلَا رَيْبَ أَنَّ تَمْكِينَ النِّسَاءِ مِنْ اِخْتِلَاطِهِنَّ بِالرِّجَالِ أَصْلُ كُلِّ بَلِيَّ وَشَرٍ. That there's no doubt that allowing the women to free mix with the men is the fundamental source and reason for every calamity and trial and evil. وَهُوَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَسْبَابِ نُزُولِ الْعُقُوبَاتِ الْعَامَةِ. And it's from the greatest reasons and means of encompassing punishments to befall the people. كَمَا أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ فَسَادِ أُمُورِ الْعَامَةِ وَالْخَاصَةِ وَاخْتِلَاطُ الرِّجَالِ بِالنِّسَاءِ سَبَبٌ لِكَثْرَةِ الْفَوَاحِشِ سَبَبٌ لِكَثْرَةِ الْفَوَاحِشِ وَالزِّنَا. And also that free mixing with the men is from the greatest means of the corruption of the affairs of the ummah, of the affairs of the society, and in general and specifically, individuals specifically, and households and homes and the whole society in general. And the mixing of men, the free mixing of men with women, Ibn Qayyim, he says, rahimahullah, is the reason for the increase in actions of indecency and fornication. And we know that what he mentioned is true because we witnessed that and we see it and we are experiencing it today. So from the wisdom of this issue is that it's not allowed if that is going to be the case, because it will lead to that which is more severe and that which is more worse, and it will lead to that which is impermissible and that which will be a means, and that which will be a means for the corruption and the downfall of the society and the members of the society. So therefore, if she leaves, it's not allowed for her to leave with the intention to go free mixing with the men and talking to the men directly and hanging out with them or working along beside them and working along under them or sitting along with them and the likes like this, because this is not allowed in the first place. Likewise, along with that, yani, is the issue of al-khalwa and the fact that she must not mix with men freely, and definitely she cannot be alone with a man freely, a man that's not from her maharim, And this is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يخلون رجل بامرأة إلا معها ذو محرم ولا تسافر المرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. That a man, he must not be alone with a woman except that she has a mahram with her. And that she must not likewise travel except she has a mahram with her. يعني a male mahram along with her. And likewise, it has been mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there is no, that a man will never be alone with a woman except that shaitan is the third of them. And enticing them and the likes like this. So no doubt from the conditions for her to leave is that she will not mix freely with other men. And of course, she will never be alone in a room or in a car or in a circumstance with another man that is not from her maharim. All of this is impermissible and not allowed. And what that means is that it's disobedience for the one who performs it, and they have exposed themselves to the anger of Allah. So to avoid that and stay away from that is a good deed and an obligation. And the one who does that for the sake of Allah, they will have a reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, from the conditions that the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to the permissibility of the woman leaving her home and these circumstances, أَنْ يَكُونَ خُرُوجُهَا بِإِذْنِ الزَّوْجِ أَوْ الْوَلِي نعم مِنْ أَبٍ وَنَحْوِهِ That she will leave only with her permission of her husband or the permission of her male guardian, like her father, or other than that. That she will not leave without the permission of the wali. And the people of Nod, as they mentioned, it's not allowed for the husband to prohibit her from going to the masjid. But if he did, she's not allowed to leave. And it's not allowed for him, likewise, to prohibit the woman from going to visit her relatives, or like her parents and the likes like that. But if he did, it's not allowed for her to leave. So this is the issue here. So if there was an oppressive husband, she would not just do whatever she likes, whether she still has to abide by the legislation and the restrictions and laws of Islam and deal with that with patience, and then take the proper means to rectify the affair and to advise the husband by going through the proper sources and having the imam, for example, to discuss with him and the likes. And many times a man, he will prohibit his wife from leaving her house, even to visit her own family, because she is not fulfilling other obligations or conditions properly. So it's not just left for her to decide. And if the husband denies her that right, then there's avenues to take to see why did he deny that. And if it's found out that he's oppressing her, then he will be advised and he will be reprimanded, and the proper actions will be taken. But the point is that the woman, she's not allowed to leave. She's not allowed to leave except with the permission, of her husband, or the permission of her wali, like her father or the male guardian who she is under his care. She's under his care. And likewise, she must not leave as well except with the proper covering. She must not leave except with the proper covering, the legislative covering, the legislative hijab. Al-hijab al-shar'i, not the cultural hijab, not the hijab of the customs of this country and that country. And some of the hijab of some of these countries is very deficient. Is very deficient, and in reality, there likewise from the plots and the enemies of al-Islam is to try to turn the issue of the hijab into a fashion statement. And the issue of al-hijab is not a fashion statement, waliyadu billah, rather it's an ibadah, and it's a duty, and it's an obligation that a woman should perform as seeking the reward of Allah, hoping for the pleasure of Allah, hoping for the mercy of Allah. She will cover herself properly as a religion and as a deen, not as a means of fashion and beautification. This is contrary entirely to the legislation and the prescribed law of al-hijab, and the woman covering herself when she leaves the home in the first place. So we should not be deceived about that. And this is also forbidden, any for her to leave in the improper garment. And Allah, He says, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. And we have discussed this issue before. Do not make tabarruj, do not adorn yourself, do not leave your house, adorning yourself and beautifying yourself as the way of the days of ignorance before. So the people of knowledge, they mention that tabarruj izharu al-mahasin wal-mafatin. What is the meaning of tabarruj that is prohibited here? Wala tabarrajna. And don't make tabarruj. This is what Allah has commanded. And we have seen before previously likewise that all of this is directed to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the women of the believers, likewise they follow in this address. And in this prohibition, that they should not beautify themselves or display their beauty. They should not display their beauty from their chest or from their neck, or from their shoulders, or from their waist, or their thighs, or their bodies, or their legs, the shape of their body in any manner whatsoever. This is called tabarruj. Display idhar al-mahasin wal-mafatin. Yani from injasidiha, that she would display the curves in her body that are attractive and beautiful from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. She would not display that for the people. She would not show that to the people. The curves in her neck and her shoulder, or the skin on her shoulder or her neck or her chest, waliyadu billah, or the curves on her waist or on her stomach or on her back, or on her legs, this will all be covered properly. And to display anything from that is called tabarruj. Wearing or leaving the house with pants on, this is called tabarruj. Waliyadu billah. Leaving the with the hijab on and the shoulder showing, or the neck showing, or the chest showing, waliyadu billah. This is called tabarruj. This is prohibited. This is forbidden, this is not allowed. We should not be deceived by what the people do in this country or that country, or this society or that culture. La. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believe in Allah and obey Him. Believe in Allah. Sister, He created you, He provided for you, He sustained you. You're going to go back to Him, believe in Him and obey Him. Submit to Him and surrender to His command and His legislation. Follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take the noble and the righteous wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the righteous noble women believers radiyallahu anhunna, as role models, and follow them. Do not follow the people in this society or the cultures that are corrupted and contrary to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. The law of al-hijab is a law that is set, and it is something that is decreed, and it's from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is established in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it must be performed dutifully, meaning it must be performed with piety from the heart and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and compliance to His law and legislation, and abiding by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not left up to the whims and to the desires and to the customs and to the cultures of the people. Rather, it must be restricted to the law of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says about this, addressing His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly, Ya ayyuhan nabi, قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuha nabi, O you Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قل, say, لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين, say to your wives and to your daughters and to the believing women, the women from the believers, the women from the believers, يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن, that they must draw over themselves their جلباب. جلابيب is the plural of the جلباب. They must draw over themselves their veils and the proper hijab, meaning whenever they leave their home. And the jilbab is a garment that goes from the head and it covers the head to the toes. And it's a garment that goes over the clothing. It's an outer garment that goes over the clothing. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being ordered to tell his wives and his daughters, and likewise the women from the believers, that this is what they must perform whenever they leave their homes. يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, this is more proper and better so that they will not be known as indecent women, as indecent and lowly women, yani despicable and women with foul and bad reputations. And if they cover themselves, they will not be known by that. Meaning those women who leave improperly covered, this is what is thought about them, that they are women of indecency, and that they're women that are easy, and that they're women that show their beauty and adornments to others, and that they are women who have been tried by shaitan, and thus they display their beauty or part of their beauty, or they do not cover properly, yani in opposition and in disobedience and turning away from the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what will be thought about them. But as for the one who covers properly, this will not be thought about her, rather it will be thought good about her. And this is from the wisdom of that. And then Allah, he says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And indeed Allah, he is the most forgiving and merciful. Meaning that if anybody had fallen into this affair and was deficient with regards to that previously, and then they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they begin to cover themselves properly, and they learn this affair, and they comply to it and abide by it, then verily indeed Allah, he is the most forgiving, and he is the most merciful. So there are a number of benefits in this verse. O you Prophet, say to your wives and to your daughters and to the women of the believers that they should draw their veils over their selves entirely, over their bodies, meaning screen themselves entirely from the head to the toe whenever they go out of their house. From the benefits of this noble verse is that a person, whenever he's going to command the good, he will begin with himself and his family. Allah, he says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, O you Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to your wives and to your daughters and to the women of the believers. So the command here was for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to begin with his own family, and then likewise as well with the women from the believers. And this is a beautiful way, and this is also what is included in that verse. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. So therefore, someone who commands the good, he will begin with himself, and he will begin with his own family. And likewise, he will command the rest of society as well, and the others as well, with the good. And also from this we see that the jilbab is something that is over the garment. It's an outer garment that goes over the clothing that woman already wear. So the garment that the woman she wears in her home, she will not leave in that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. That will not be displayed, nor will it be seen. Whether she will have a garment, an outer garment that she will cover herself entirely with whenever she leaves her home. And this is in order for her to not be harmed or to be bothered. And that this harm and this bothering and this annoyance, it comes from the people thinking bad about her, that she's not chaste. And the woman who leaves out improperly covered, then this is what is thought about her. And also from the benefits of this noble verse is that Allah, he forgives the sins of those who have fallen short in that previously, if they turn to him in repentance and they rectify their affair. Also in this same light, with regard to this condition of leaving the home properly covered, it has been collected by Ibn Majah rahimahullahu ta'ala from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and is a narration that is authentic. And she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أيما امرأة وضعت ثيابها في غير بيت زوجها فقد هتكت ستر ما بينها وبين الله. Then any woman who takes off her garment, meaning her outer garment, the garment that's covering the awra, that which is not permissible for others to see from her. Any woman who takes off her jilbab outside of the house of her husband, then indeed she has taken down the curtain and the veil that is between her and between Allah. Then indeed she has taken down the veil that is between her and between Allah, meaning that she has violated this right. Meaning that she has violated this right, and that she has exposed herself to the anger of Allah, and that she has violated that veil that is between her and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will not punish her and He will not hold her to account and the likes like this. So this is an indication that it's not allowed for the woman to leave her home and her jilbab and then to go somewhere and take it off, except in her husband's house. Only what is intended from this is that she will not take her jilbab off and expose herself to being seen or being accused of fahisha or any acts of indecency anywhere that she goes. So to go outside of the house in the jilbab and to go to somewhere else and to take that off and to expose oneself, this is a foul way. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the one who is doing this, she's only exposing herself to the anger of Allah, as if she has taken that veil, the veil of chastity, the veil, sitr al-haya, the sitr of haya. She has a guard and she has a curtain that is covering her of bashfulness and shyness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She has stripped that off of her. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. Whenever she takes off her garment in this manner, outside of her home, and she allows others to look at her and to see her, that which is hidden from her, this is a foul way. This is not allowed. This is not permissible. This is not allowed. The garment must stay on. If she leaves her house, she must keep it on. She must keep herself covered. If she goes to her family's house, for example, her father's house or her mother's house, it would be a lie. It would be allowed at this time because these people here, they're from her family, and it's allowed for her. Even then, she will only show that which is proper and normal. But what is intended is that she will never leave her home and then take off her garment after that, exposing her adornments or her beauty or any portion of her body that's an obligation to be covered while she's out of her home. Wallahu al-musta'an. Likewise, whenever she leaves and whenever she's dealing with the people, we have seen from the conditions that she will not free mix. But we know that in society, especially in our days, especially in the society we live in, that maybe there will be some type of mixing that will be considered a necessity. Like maybe she will have to purchase something and the one who is selling it is a man, which is what's proper in the first place. But at this time, it will be allowed for her to speak to him according to that which is necessary in order for her to fulfill her need, to get her change, or to find out about an item, or so on and so forth. This is allowed. But how will she speak? This issue likewise has been restricted and clarified in the legislation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about this affair, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطَمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطَمَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. And that whenever you speak to a man that is not from the mahram, that you should not speak in a manner, you should not beautify or soften the voice, or make them like speak in a manner that's humble and being under that person in compliance to the man. فَيَطَمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Because the person now, from the men who has a disease in his heart, then he will hope and desire that. And this will rile up that disease in his heart. And rather what Allah, He says, وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. But rather say proper words. And you say proper words, meaning you will not speak to the man harshly and rudely. And likewise, not in a manner of submission with a beautiful or a soft and a kind voice, but rather in a normal manner. In order to get the point across and to take care of business. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned in his tafsir with regards to this verse, he says, وَمَعْنَا هَذَا. And the meaning of this, أَنَّهَا تُخَاطِبُ الْأَجَانِبِ بِكَلَامٍ لَيْسَ فِيهِ تَرْخِيمٍ. That means that she will address the men that are not from her maharam, she will address them with words that does not have a soft tone, or shows a sign of submission and the likes like this, or surrendering or being under the man and ready to comply to him, or showing any type of tone that has this idea and the likes like this. A, so he says, rahimahullah, what does that mean? A, لا تخاطب المرأة الأجانب كما تخاطب زوجها. Meaning that the woman, she will not speak to the non-mahadim, the men who are not from her family or allowed for her to speak to, she will not speak to them the way she speaks to her husband. She will not speak to them the way she speaks to her husband. Rather, what is mentioned is she will speak in a normal tone, not low and submissive and not in a nice tone and the likes like that, and also not harsh or rude as well, rather in a moderate manner. In a moderate manner. Alhamdulillah wa khayru al-umur awsatuha. As the people of knowledge, they mentioned, the best of the affairs are those that are in the middle and moderate in the dealings. So we see here what is intended, فَيَطَّمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Because whenever a woman, she speaks to a man, the woman, she speaks to a man and she softens her voice and the likes like this, and she speaks in a manner presenting herself in that way as if she is submitting to him or under him and the likes like this. And this leads the one that has a disease in his heart to desire her. To desire her or to desire a woman in general and the likes like this. And the one who has the disease in his heart, what is intended here? The disease of shahwa, marad al-shahwa. And what is intended specifically? فَيَطَمَا أَلَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ مَرَضُ الشَّهْوَى الزِّنَى. And the one who has the disease of the desire for fornication in his heart. And this is something that this society is based upon. And this society in America, these people, they all have the disease of fornication in the heart. This is what they do. This is from the best of them is the one who does that in the best manner. And this is known. This is known. And the one who fornicates and has a number of girlfriends, or she has a number of boyfriends, or she has this many experiences in the likes, like this is what they go for. This is what they praise and they glorify. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So in our society, specifically the people, the non-Muslims especially, they have diseases in their heart. The disease of shahwa and the desire and the lust, the burning crave for fornication. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. And even some of the believers, they have that in their heart as well. And that means the person who has that in his heart is sick. And he's ready to do that at any moment. Any opportunity that rises for him, any indication that it's possible for him to fulfill this desire and this lust, he will move on that. So therefore, if a woman comes to him and she lowers her voice and she speaks in a soft tone and manner like this, this will rile him up. Anything. And in the lightest affair, أَدَّنَا شَيْءٍ يُحَرِّكُ قَلْبَهُ عَلَى هَذِهِ الشَّهْوَةِ وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. The smallest thing will cause that desire in his heart to burn. It will move him in that manner and cause him either to lust for that and to try that with that woman or with the next woman or the likes like this. So all of this is not allowed. Likewise, a woman, she must fear Allah Azza wa Jal. A woman, she must fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, she must not leave with any type of perfume on. She must not leave with any type of perfume on. All of this likewise has been clarified in the law of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to honor Islam. We have to honor the sacred rites of this deen. We have to hope that Allah will fill our hearts with the love of Islam, the love of the laws of Allah, in honoring the commandments of Allah, honoring the prohibitions of Allah, having high status and ranks and regards for these affairs, not belittling them in any manner. And this means by loving them, by loving Allah, loving the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loving Islam, showing preference to that love over the love over the desires, and over the love of the people, over the love of the whims, loving the command of Allah first and foremost and abiding by that. From that is that the woman, she will not leave with perfume on. It's been connected by an Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ أصابت بخورا فلا تشهد معنا العشاء الآخرة. That any woman who has used any bukhur is whenever they'll take the oud, that whenever you burn it, it has a beautiful scent, the perfume that's burned, the incense and the likes like this. And sometimes that scent, that good scent, will get on the clothing. This is what is referred to here. That though any woman who does this, that this bukhur and this incense has been burned, and then that good scent has come onto her clothing, then she must not witness and attend the Isha prayer with us. Meaning that if she was allowed to leave before, now she's not allowed to leave if her clothing has this beautiful and nice scent on it from the Bukhur. Likewise, it has been collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. From the hadith of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كل عين زانية والمرأة إذا استعطرت فمرت بالمجلس فهي كذا وكذا. كل عين زانية. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every eye commits fornication. والمرأة إذا استعطرت فمرت بالمجلس فهي كذا وكذا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he said, and a woman, if she puts on perfume and then she walks by a gathering of men, then she's this and that. Then she's this and that. The narrators, they say, yani azaniya, meaning she's a fornicator. Meaning she's a fornicator. Likewise, it has been narrated also from Abi Musa radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَيُّمَ مْرَأَةٍ اسْتَعْطَرَتْ فَمَرَّتْ عَلَى قَوْمٍ لِيَجِدُوا مِنْ رِيحِهَا فَهِيَ زَانِيَةً. This is narrated by, this is collected by Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, that any woman who puts on perfume and then she walks by a people in order for them to smell her scent, then she is considered zaniya, then she's considered a fornicator. What is intended by considered a fornicator here? The fornication of the eye, the fornication of the ear, the tongue, the fornication of the woman in this manner. Not the fornication that has the law of the rajm and the stoning, but a type of fornication. Any meaning that this is a great sin and not allowed. Although no doubt it is lesser than actually committing the act of fornication. But the reason for this is because it leads to fornication. It's from the means of that. So whenever she had been a means that would rile up the hearts of the men and stir up their desires in this manner, which will call them to fall into fornication, then she has taken the ruling like that. Meaning, yani, that she is also under the threat of a great punishment because of that. Like the punishment of the one who has committed zina, although no doubt the rulings are different and the prescribed law is different. So this is the case here. So meaning she has the sin of the zaniya. Not the ruling, but she will have the sin of that. She will bear the sin of the fornicator. And this is because she riled up the desires of the men in this manner with her perfume, and that she carried them at this time to look at her. Whenever a man, maybe especially those who have weakness in his heart, they smell that scent, they will look for it. This is something normal. A person, he smells a good smell, he will turn his head. Many times if he smells something, he turns his head and he's seen that woman like that. This will rile him up, waliyadhu billah. Especially if he's from those في قلوبهم مرضون مرض الشهوة ولياذ بالله, those who have a disease in their heart. So therefore she's going to have a sin similar to that of the fornicator because of this affair. She's carrying people and calling to that, even if she didn't do it with them, she's the reason for that. And likewise, at bare minimum, she has been the reason for them to commit fornication with the eye, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كل عين زانية, that every eye commits fornication. And not the actual any fornication, but it lusts for that which is impermissible. The eye will do that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, may Allah protect our eyes from looking at that which is indecent, and for lusting with him that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great jihad to control one's eyes and one's ears and one's tongue for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us success. A believer has to be sincere about that, male and female, guarding their eyes and their tongue, guarding their hearts and their ears and their hands and their feet from doing that which is impermissible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the reality of the test of our creation and the responsibility that we have and our duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These body parts are blessings and favors from Allah. We'll be held accountable with what we do with them. We'll be held accountable for what we do with them. So we see that it's not allowed for the woman to leave out in this manner, and even not clothed properly, or wearing perfume, or the likes like this. And if she leaves, she will not be alone with a man that is not from her maharim, and she will not speak in a manner with a soft tone, and the likes like this. And likewise, she will not mix with the men freely, whether she will move and with dignity and honor and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then she will not leave unnecessarily. And the likes like this, only whenever she needs to. And then also she will not leave except with the permission of her husband or the permission of her guardian. And then if there are circumstances where the woman, she has to work because of a situation that she's in, And then it's allowed for her, but then she will work in a manner that is permissible for her. She not just go work anywhere, in any occupation, in any job, in any field. And we have seen that. And we have seen that in the previous fatwa of Sheikh Ibn Baz, when he was asked about that, can a woman study in any field she wants to? And he mentioned that she cannot study any field she wants to. Rather, she studies in the fields and learns the sciences and the knowledge that's beneficial for her and for other women to benefit the society. Yani the Muslim society. Many people, they take advantage of this affair and they wind up benefiting the Kafir society and they don't benefit the Muslim society whatsoever. Waliyadu billah. So, I close today with a reminder again from the worst things that happen whenever the woman leaves her home are these affairs that she's in contradiction with the reason why she's created and the purpose from her creation and what she's been prepared for and fulfilling her obligation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leaving her home as if this is what she's supposed to do. Leaving her home to go mix in society, to go sit in schools, and to in order to get a job that in the origin, to go sit in the school is not allowed, to mix with the men is not allowed, and then to do that in order to get a job for a worldly affair, nothing whatsoever related to the religion, and it's not allowed. To go to school is not allowed. Then to go to school in order to get a job that's not allowed is not allowed. So why are we raising our children to do that which is not allowed, especially our daughters? We don't raise our children like this. Rather, we teach them the foundation, the fundamentals that the daughter should be raised to stay in the house, to be a wife, to be a mother, to be a cultivator, to be someone who would teach and raise a household upon piety and righteousness, upon truthfulness, upon sincere faith, upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his salafiyah, clearly. Teaching them the how to purify themselves, teaching them to read the Fatiha, teaching them the how to understand their religion, raising a generation that is upright and noble, that will benefit the ummah. This is what we need, women that will be like this, mothers who will be righteous, daughters who will be righteous, and wives who will be righteous and will be upright, that whenever they call on Allah, Allah will answer them and respond to them. That Allah will answer them and respond to them, not women who do whatever they like and go wherever they like and they do and they have no care or concern for the limits and the restrictions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, they imitate the disbelievers and are deceived and tricked by them and the likes like this. This is all foul and not good, my noble sister. Busy yourself with beneficial knowledge. Learn the laws and the limits of your religion and apply what you learn to the best of your ability, and Allah, He will open your heart, and Allah, He will guide you, and Allah, He will make you beneficial for your family and for your society and for the ummah and for the ummah. This is what we need. Again, one of the worst things as well that come about from the woman leaving her home to go get a job or leaving her home to go to school and the likes like this is that many times the one who is harmed the most is the child itself. Instead of staying at home, raising and cultivating the child, they leave the child with a babysitter. And that's at best. Rather, many of them, they don't do that. Rather, they leave the child with a kafir. They take the child, many of our children, we have discussed this in previous classes for the sisters and likewise for the youth, the dangers of the public schools. Many of the children, they're left in the public schools because the mothers, they don't want to homeschool, they don't want to teach. Rather, they're looking for babysitters and they want to have a career. So therefore, in order to get their career, in order to do what they want to do, they're ready to sacrifice the deen of their child. Rather, they're ready to throw their child to a disbeliever to raise them. Allahumma musta'an. This is not allowed. It's not allowed to put a Muslim child, a Muslim girl, a Muslim boy in the hands of a disbeliever to do what they like with them, to teach them and to cultivate them and to raise them, to teach them the manners of the disbelievers and etiquettes of the disbelievers that are foul and lowly, to cultivate them and to raise them, especially at that age whenever they're like sponges and they soak up everything that they get. Their language, their tongues are foul. The tongues of the disbelievers in our society are foul. Their manners and etiquettes are foul. They're on a path that leads to the anger of Allah. Those who die from them upon what they're upon, they die and they go to the anger of Allah and they'll never see the mercy of Allah. How could a mother or a father ever put their child in the hand of someone like that to raise their child? Especially whenever the whole reason for that is because they want to have a career. So this has led them now to sacrifice their child. Many of the cases, they're like this. The cases, they're like this. The woman, she has to go to work. because she has a goal, she has a dream, she wants to have a career, she wants to have a job, she wants to do this particular occupation, she wants to do this particular affair, she needs to go to school to get this particular degree, whatever the case, she has her mind set on this. So that means that she has to have a babysitter for her child, and many times she cannot find a babysitter, so that she would leave the child in the public schools. Waliyadhu billah. I do not believe anything except that this is khiyana and betrayal of the trust. Nas'al Allah al-afi wa salama. So rectify that affair and be sincere and look into this issue. The children, they have rights upon us, that we raise them and we cultivate them, we keep them safe. Their creed and their belief first and foremost. Raising a child does not mean you feed him and you clothe him. This is only part of it, but it's not even the major part. The greatest right on the child is that you teach them who Allah is. That you teach them who Allah is, and you teach them the obligations that they that Allah has placed upon them and how to fulfill that. That you teach them who Prophet Muhammad is sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But many of our women, they can't even do that because they themselves, they do not know how to do that. They do not know Allah. They do not know the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some of them can't even teach their child the wudu. They can't even teach their child the Fatiha or the tashahud because they're so occupied and concerned with getting a degree and getting a job. And the lies like this, and this is the sign of failure. And to completely devote oneself to the worldly life and to neglect the obligations about Islam. So again, like we have seen previously, how the verse had closed, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا, that indeed Allah is the most forgiving and most merciful. So somebody who maybe had fallen into these affairs before, if they repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla and they seek His forgiveness, then Allah, He will forgive them. And if they take a path, they try to rectify that affair, they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they repent to Allah, Allah is the most forgiving and merciful. Allah will rectify that, Allah will remove that, the sin of that, and likewise the burden of that, and bring about much goodness for a person who repents to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the case what we should do. Inshallah, in our next class, we return to our book and we continue reading from where we left off. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.